mixing fun and info. Finfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Take the Am I Going to Have a Stroke quiz. If you say things like, will you marry me? Let's move to Chicago. You might be actually preventing a stroke. Believe it or not, even though that might seem to add stressors to you. Risk factors like high blood pressure and stress are more commonly known to cause strokes, but there's a lot of other ones that sort of slide in the back door a little bit. We always focus on things like blood pressure, and yes, you need to watch blood pressure. You need to watch diet and all this stuff. But the general ways that we go about our life, our happiness, our sadness, who do we choose to partner with, also have heavy influences on whether you're going to have a stroke. And I'd like to throw this out there, Holly, that in cardiology, if someone comes to us and they've had a heart attack, we have a lot to work with. Right, so we can prevent another one. Is, you know, we can medicate, we can use herbs and homeopathy, we can get their heart stronger with exercise. But when there's a stroke and they have kind of a permanent deficit, it just scares the heck out of us. And we will all, as cardiologists, will overprescribe, Holly. We will overprescribe anticoagulants, we will overprescribe blood pressure drugs in an effort to say, you might feel lousy, but at least you're not going to have a stroke. And why?
So, Dr. Decker, Dr. Weiss,
we're not doing anything. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So, yes. Okay. Hang on. I don't want to interrupt you, but I am. But so I am going to. You know, Melanie Cole, who is a host on many shows on Radio MD, was graciously, like, she was my guest host when you were in a very big meeting. And we went through a segment called Naturopathic Cardiologist, all without you. So we kind of talked about you. But just, yeah. I really want to understand this stroke. I mean, excuse me, this quiz to determine, hey, are you going to have a stroke or not? But what is a naturopathic cardiologist? I want to hear it from you, the naturopathic cardiologist.
There's a simple difference between a conventional cardiologist and a naturopathic cardiologist, and that is that we all potential therapies for prevention and treatment are on the table. So when you see a conventional cardiologist, it's drugs and surgery and maybe some strange form of nutrition that yet I've begun to understand. Even though I've been studying nutrition for 20 years, I don't know what kind of ideas they get their nutrition from, but they do try in their system. When you see a naturopathic cardiologist, the idea is to herbs, homeopathy, nutritional supplements, exercise, which is very different the way they'll exercise you in conventional medicine. We're talking all forms of exercise, not treadmill, not just anything else. It could be yoga, it could be prayer, it could be, you know, as part of that, anything that's calming, kung fu. I had a 75-year-old lady who's had two heart attacks start kung fu class the other day. So the idea is that all of those therapies are on the table, and then it becomes what's best according to science and clinical practice to prevent heart attacks and reverse disease. And then the other part is how we prevent heart attacks and how we reverse disease can't lead to cancer. So if I prescribe a drug that has a side effect of cancer but might help with your heart, in a naturopathic cardiologist system, we can't do it. We can't treat diseases. And so,
all right, and you can also scroll around on radiomd.com and you can check out that segment that we talked about naturopathic cardiology. Okay, so about this stroke quiz.
So one of the things that came up, I was looking for little lesser known side effects or little lesser known causes. One thing that came up is being a born and bred Southerner. There's a stroke belt. North and South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama is called the stroke belt. And I'd been practicing 50 years and I didn't know that. And it's funny, I talked to some cardiologists from the South after this and they're like, we didn't know it was the stroke belt. Harvard 2009 Journal of Neurology, Professor Maria Gilmore, 22% increase for stroke living in those areas, 30% for whites, and probably higher for people of African-American descent or African descent. It's probably the sweet tea and sugar, but it actually may even be something more like nutritional deficiencies there. But strokes scare us so much that we need to actually have an awareness campaign for the South that, do you know you have higher strokes? Would that be, as a naturopathic doctor, Holly, that kind of seems obvious that that area would have more strokes or not to you?
Absolutely, because you're looking at as I always say, food can be medicine. It also can be a drug. It can be poison as well. And I think when we're thinking about A lot of fried foods with a lot of sugar, okay, that equals a lot of oxidative stress. That also mm-hmm. equals inflammation. So oxidative stress, inflammation, plaque buildup, you occlude those vessels. Guess what? When that's what a stroke is, that you basically occlude the oxygen, which your blood carries, to the brain, and then you quote unquote stroke out a little bit. So what's this? So quiz, you have a quiz.
Moving on. So if you are a born and bred Southerner, if you are a person of color or female, higher risk of stroke. They're looking at dietary stuff. They're looking also that women 35 to 64 are three times will have more body fat. But get this, USC, University of Southern California researchers, women aged 35 to 64 are three times more likely to have a stroke than men of the same age. Three times. I always knew that women had a little higher risk of stroke. There's a risk during pregnancy. There's being risk things there, but it's they took pregnancy out of this, Holly. This was just you're at that age, three times higher. Once again, the disparities of medicine continue, where women will have more disease than men, and it's not commonly known what women should do for prevention. And it's got to stop the sexism of medicine. This should be a common. I should have known this in medical school. I should have known this in residency fellowship. I've been studying vascular disease my whole life, and I didn't know women in this range were three times more likely to do it. Frustrating for me, Holly.
It is frustrating. It's frustrating for me, too, because, you know, I know that we know all about pink and what pink stands for, and that there's pink, you know, you can run for the pink and crawl for the pink and do everything pink, pink, pink. But guess what? One in six women will die of breast cancer. One in three women right now will die of cardiovascular related disease, including stroke. So I think we got to get that word out there too.
Yeah, we do. And the three times more shocks me that I didn't know that. I'm a little embarrassed. Yeah. I mean, there's some things you need to know as a doctor, and especially a vascular guy like myself, and that bothers me. Smoking comes up in your quiz if you're a smoker, high risk, being obese, a lot of the things that you've heard before. A couple of ones, you know, depression, being unhappy, higher risk for stroke. Now, we knew this with heart disease. We did know this with heart disease, but it has now come out with stroke. For every step up on the researcher's happiness scale, which is probably, what is that scale? The happiness scale that all the researchers use.
Yes, it's the, oh gosh darn it.
Yeah, we'll think of it probably afterwards, but the Harrington or something like Hamilton.
It's the Hamilton rating scale.
Yeah,
sorry.
And for every point they dropped, get this. So in men, if they dropped from a 6 to a 5 or whatever the number is, for every point they dropped their risk of heart stroke by 41%. 41%. And for every point a woman dropped, meaning getting more happy, for every point that a man gets happier, their stroke risk decreased 41%. For every point that a woman became more happy, they decreased their stroke risk 18%. And I think it's because sedentary behavior goes with unhappiness, meaning that they're not exercising, they're not moving. What do you think, Holly?
I think you're spot on, honestly. I think it's truly, 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 you got to look at these subtleties. I was just answering a producer's question. Dr. Oz, producer, actually emailed me, and they're doing a segment about what women doctors know differently than perhaps men doctors and how we might be treated differently. And it's the subtleties of the emotionality and let's just say also kind of like something like a broken heart, the broken heart syndrome. There's actually catecholamines. There's different chemicals that actually can contribute to heart disease, can cause a heart attack when experiencing that type of emotional pain and grief. And those subtleties, I think, totally need to be into the equation as far as risk factors.
Now, here's something, Holly, that we are both married individuals. Being single can increase your risk for stroke as well. The last one being high-fat diet. Holly, want to give us a quick summary on this?
All right. So when we're thinking about preventing a stroke, you got to make sure that you're married. No, okay, but know your risk factors. If you came from from the Southern Belt, you got a risk factor there. So check out your diet history. Make sure you're making good choices now. Be in love, if not with somebody else, with yourself, and you can stay well, as we do here on Radio MD.